Hello and welcome to Pro You Podcast, episode number 348, New Vibe, New Tribe. It's a quote I heard, I'm probably going to say 2 years ago now. And it was kind of funny because I fired up at the time and I'm like, yeah, I got a new vibe. And it wasn't like really the new tribe around. Well, if you've ever relocated, picked up your roots and moved out of state, started over, maybe a new country, it just takes time. I mean, if you move with someone, if you know someone, if you get a job, it still just takes time. And I've relocated 3 different times in my life, and I've learned that lesson well. Hopefully, I won't have to do it again. But if I do, I'll be okay. But April, you know, I was kind of like, wow, it's kind of trippy to say this. Clients and people I spoke to had the same feeling going on. You know, in lieu of what's going on, I'm doing really well. I know that I'm handling this better than ever before. And April is just a great month. And one of my favorite people in the world, Scott Mosier, came back as a client, which was completely unexpected. Every time we stop training, I'm like, okay, that's it. Never train that dude again. Just because, you know, out of state or out of the country or working or whatever. So it was just this, you know, month that was just kind of getting better and getting better. And then right at the very end, I get an online client, which I've been trying to do for a very long time. And it was like just this like tinging a bell and just the ring going, oh, okay, I get it. See, these are the clients I'll get now. I'm just not going to get a lot of them. I never give grades. And I always use that analogy. But if I did, out of the gate, I got an A+ client. Long time listener of the podcast. Emailed me kind of the background story 3 years ago. And then 2 weeks ago, shot another email, said, you know, having trouble with consistency, this and this and that. And it was just like, you know, putting on that comfortable old t-shirt going, oh, okay. We've never spoken, never met. And it was automatically brother from another mother, listened to me, understood. I didn't have to sell anything. He was like, you know, I would like to, can we, did a FaceTime, I'm signing up, here's your homework, let's go to the, you know, start training on Saturday. And I just trained him through workout for the first time. And this was kind of I'm overflowing. I really, really, truly am with this. Like, it was such a beautiful point in my life. So I said, let's just, you know, go through a workout, you know, see where you're at. And he's got 2 children and his baby girl, who I met actually the first time we FaceTime, comes walking out in the backyard. And I got this whole thing with people. I'm like, you know, you're going to see yourself as I see you. That's the goal. Once we get rid of the gray, we quiet the voice, we get you being thankful, you're going to realize how good you are. So we're a little ways in this workout. I can't even remember what exercise we were doing, but he's doing it with bands, I think. And this little girl's got the most amazing, beautiful, long, curly, blonde hair. And she just woke up, so it was bedhead, and it looked amazing. And she's super cute. And she goes, Daddy, can I do that? And there's not a pause, and there's not a beat. But in my head, this answer pops up, going, yes, but not right now. Daddy's working out. You just have to wait a minute. Something like that. And out of Dan's mouth, when his little baby, precious little girl goes, "Daddy, can I do that?" He goes, "Of course." And I have no idea why, but it was just like brilliant. Like, that's the answer. You don't have to say no, not right now. I'm busy. Dad's busy. Do it. Just say yes. And she smiled. Because, you know, she wasn't thinking I got to do it right now or anything like that. But it was just, and to me, when I started thinking about the intro to this episode and talking about Dan, I was like, that's kind of the point. In that brief moment, that brief exchange with his daughter, I saw everything I needed to see. The dude has no bad at all. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting clients like this. Like, you know, I asked him some questions and then I gave him some homework and I said, write some stuff down. And it was just meticulous and he was diligent and just, and I was like, there's nothing this guy really needs. He just can't see himself as I do. And I'm like, and that's my job now. Just, I got that mirror that people want to see. And all I got to do is hold it up. And it's just overflowing. Over, I mean, now, you know, obviously we're entering into May. And I'm like, you know, I've not got a new client, new online client like this. Like, you know, here's a long-term, good, solid, in the book kind of client. 3 years. And I'm like, boom, there. And I'm like, okay, that's done. So, come to my well by the water I sell. It takes a whole lot of time and energy to become a better you, but it's so worth it. And when you start toting around that new vibe, you will, in time, attract that new vibe. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything at all, there's a billion ways to message me on social media, but you can contact me, proyoupodcast@gmail.com. Anytime, would love to hear from you. Thank you for being you. Enjoy. I love my dog. I love Zen. I'm looking at him right now, and he's looking right back at me. Oh, my heart is full. I'm going to read some quotes to y'all. I hope you're well, and thank you for listening. The quieter you become, the more you can hear. Your body reacts to everything your mind says. If your mind sees fear, every cell in your body adapts and prepares for it. If your mind sees happiness, your body relaxes and enjoys. If your mind sees abundance and positivity, your body is prepared to flourish from it. It's literally unhealthy for you to have negative thoughts. An unhealed person can find offense in pretty much anything someone else does. A healed person understands the actions of others has absolutely nothing to do with them. Sometimes you have to let go of people, not because you don't care, but because your peace is more important. This is my favorite one from this past week. A couple lines in it I love, and I did yesterday. I'll explain. Hold on. If you're exhausted, rest. If you don't feel like starting a new project, don't. If you don't feel the urge to make something new, just rest in the beauty of the old, the familiar, the known. If you don't feel like talking, stay silent. If you're fed up with the news, turn it off. If you want to postpone something until tomorrow, do it. If you want to do nothing, let yourself do nothing today. Feel the fullness of the emptiness, the vastness of the silence, the sheer life in your unproductive moments. Time does not always need to be filled. You are enough simply in your being. Jeff Foster. I don't know, so familiar and yet different in ways. Just rest in the beauty of the old, the familiar, the known. So I will catch myself laying on the floor with Zen, petting him, and just sitting in quiet. And I love that I just do that. I don't go, oh, hey, I'm going to lay down and sit in the quiet. Oh, look, I'm just, hey, wow, I've just been sitting here. Like, there's no music, nothing on. I'm just, and I've done that before. But a couple days ago after reading this, I was like, the beauty of the old, the familiar, the known. And I'm like, I just like the Zen garden. You know, I like my dog. I like sitting here. I could just sitting here going, this is mine. You know, this is the old. This is the known. This is the familiar. I made this stuff. I remember where I got that, you know, that wood from or those stones from. I mean, you can just sit here and just be filled by the old, the familiar, and the known. This was the kicker to me, though. Feel the fullness of the emptiness, the vastness of the silence, the sheer life in your unproductive moments. And I'm like, when do you just sit there and like think, wow, this is good. Wow, I feel good. Hey, I like that. It's, you know, again, time seems like it has to be filled. You're not doing nothing? You're not making money? You're just sitting there? You're not doing anything? You could be working out? You could be, you know, it's like this bad thing with this bad stigma. And in my 50s, I started learning out it wasn't true. Dang. I learned this stuff when I was like 10. Dude, I'm just going to chill today. I'm just going to rest, recover. Dude, you're 10. I know. I think that'd be fantastic. And the vastness of the silence, the fullness of the emptiness. I mean, if you're in a bad place and you're sitting alone and it's quiet, that's hell. But if you're in a good place like I've been, I've sat in the quiet and alone out at the beach in my house with Zen. You know, middle of nowhere, I've been alone with Zen and feel fantastic. But it was the wording, like the fullness of the emptiness instead of the fear. The vastness of the silence being like, wow, that's dope. Instead of, oh my God, it's so quiet. I got to feel it. I got to make noise. I need a distraction. See, I'm so into quotes that if one affects me, it's got to be amazing because I've heard so many. But then it becomes like, oh, I like how that's worded. I'm going to think that way. And it almost becomes like a new step or a new tool or even a new challenge to move forward with. But I like that. So this will come out in May. It's actually May 2nd, of course. But April was the best month of my life thus far. And right before the end of, that's, I was like, you know, what month of recording and going out, I was just had rent. And this is the great, this was the takeaway. I didn't care then. Like, if I can just make enough money to pay my bills, I'm like completely fine. Which is like this, hey, stop and check this out. Like, there's moments where just say, hey, you weren't like that. It becomes very apparent. There's a part of me that says, hey, stop, check that out. You weren't like that. Hey, that's different. Hey, you're doing that this way now. Because, you know, over the last, whatever, 2-3 years of, you know, spending the cash reserves and going into my savings, you know, you just start, you know, doubt, fear, whatever comes in. And then over time, it's seems to be fine. I have money and I'm getting better. I'm growing. And it was through those 3 years where it was because I wasn't working as much and wasn't making as much money, I was slowing down, pausing, reflecting, and benefiting huge. The breadcrumbs were consistent. My growth was consistent. And, you know, just recently I said, if I go back 3 years and go, okay, now you're going to work the next 3 years and make money, make a list of what you're not going to learn. And it was just endless. So there's no controversy to me. It's like, don't care. All right, I'm not supposed to be working a lot, making money. I'm healthy, Zen's healthy. My faith is strong. I'm good. Enjoy the day. Be thankful. And then April comes along, and I'm like, you know, I'm doing good. And I get Moshe back, and, you know, Moshe's a good client, and he's consistent, pays me well. And I was just like, end of the month, it was like, whoa, that's done. I was like, and what I noticed, it was like, it didn't matter before. Like, if I had enough or was made, it was like, okay, there would be the next thought on what to do with that money. Okay, now you're making this, or now you have that, or how can you, or there was a bunch of bills or debt or whatever. And I'm like trying to reallocate whatever I had. And it was just quiet in the head about money. Like, ooh, I'm making this. What if I got one client? What if I just, okay, cool. That's done. Forrest Gump kind of a moment. Well, you had to keep going in just to make your monthly payments. Yep, now you didn't. Nope, that's done. And again, pandemic ends. Mosher's gym opens up. You know, he goes back. So there's no guarantees for any of this. But again, April 2020, best month ever. And here's the kicker. Right before the end of April, I got another client. And this is brand new, you know, never heard from, well, that's not really correct, but I was just going to say, but it was, you know, for like the last 3 years, like, you know, just trying to get a real, you know, one-on-one new client, you know, a new client, not, you know, one back or someone I trained before. And so this is that in that thing. And I was just really like, I'd like to get some online clients. I just enjoy doing that. And, you know, you can reach anybody. You know what I mean? You talk to one person in every state and you had 50 clients. So I was like, whatever. Again, I'm just sitting there going, okay, here's what's great. Here's what's positive. Focus on that. You know, here's the breadcrumbs. Here's what you're learning. And then, like I said, got Mosher. He came back paying my bills. I'm like, all right. Had not a thought in my mind about anything else. Just explain that. I get an email. Hey, Tom. Hope you are well. I'm a longtime listener of your podcast, and we connected a few years back on my pro-you story. I included it below in case it jogs your memory. In any case, life is still moving forward. There's now two kiddos rampaging around the house, and we're still juggling two careers as best we can. With so little time for myself, I'm struggling to motivate towards hitting my health and fitness goals, including not listening to PYP nearly as often as I should be. On the episodes I've caught recently, I noticed you talking about taking on web clients, and I was wondering if you had room in your schedule for one more. I think I have room. I think I'd really benefit from having someone help me reach my goals, and I love your message. Let me know if we can chat. I'd love to hear more about what you're offering best. And this is from Dan. So I was like, no way. like, you know, again, didn't remember the name, and I got his first email that I'm going to read, but it was like online, and he's interested, and I'm like, this is fantastic, and he's been listening for a long time, and I was like, so, like, we arrange a first time face chat, and it's amazing. Literally amazing. It's kind of that I'm out of my body watching it, because I'm like, this is what I want. I would have waited 2-3 years, you know, spent to get a client like this, because he's like my other clients. They've just been in my life kind of since the new me, the newer version, the better me. New vibe, new tribe. Just came boom. I heard that probably 2-3 years ago. But I was like, well, you know, the whole transition, you know, I relocated. And when you pick up, pack, and move out of state to another state, and you don't know anybody, and you start all over, there's just transition time. You just can't, like, oh, my God. The second day I met these people, I have friends, I have a job. You know, it just takes time. Well, all this stuff takes time. It's the not knowing. It's not knowing how long. It's the tough thing, but it's like now you start, you know, again, I was like, when dealing with the test, you know, how you deal with that test directly determines the outcome of that test. All right, you're not going to get a new client for like 2-3 years. You're going to spend this much money, blah, blah, blah. But when things kind of go crazy in the world, April 2020, you're going to get 2 clients. And I'm like, what? That's just, and again, you can't write this stuff. You can't predict this stuff. You can't really plan it. There's no way I orchestrate it. There's no way I'm this good. But I just stopped and sat back and I said, you know, that's all you needed. You believed. You know, it was like, I got to get a client. I'm going on a huge campaign or something. I was like, nope, you're just going to chill. There's Zen. Zen's healthy right now. There's your dog looking at you. Go play with him. You're supposed to be the best dog owner right now. Why don't you do that? Everything else seems to be working out. You're healthy. Hey, you know, it's like this. Okay, okay. Like someone was telling me. Like there was another me. A little bit older, smarter, wiser. Stronger, faster, better. And like, yes. And it was always based on kind of those breadcrumbs. But I was just talking to this guy. And listen to your podcast. Born and raised Catholic, you know, just like it was like talking to a brother from another mother, like when I'm talking to Chris Morrison, when I'm talking to Joe, there's just these people that are like, you know, they just get me, they've listened, they've under, like, there's no selling, there's no like, hey, I heard of this guy, you reach out going, Tom, tell me about you. They're like, hey, I want to train with you, I want you to be in my life, I want you to affect me, I've been listening, I've watched you. I'm like, there it is. Podcast for 5 years. Building the new me for 5 years. Here I am. And you wouldn't think when everything's shutting down and closing down and it's a tough time, people aren't working, that would be the moment that I would get, you know, a couple new clients. And it was, like I said, the money was like, okay, cool. Like, I didn't even care. Like, I was like, okay, I pay my bills. Wonderful. I wasn't like, oh, what can I go spend? It was like, had this, you know, paid, you know, rent, had money, just poop, put it in this envelope. And I went, well, that's what I do now. I mean, I haven't had extra to put aside. I haven't had extra to go, well, I don't need that right now. Or I'll put that into savings. Or I'll put, you know, I haven't had any of that for 2-3 years. But over those 2-3 years, my spending is, you know, I'm frugal in a great way. Like, what do you really need? Because that was the big thing for me. It was like, how much do you really need? And that amount wasn't really that hard to swing. And you know, with a few clients, I came close. And I was like, well, I don't really want to have a bunch more, you know, oh, I'm eating out all the time, or I'm ordering stuff all the time, or I'm, you know, buying Nikes all the time, or I'm, you know, running up my credit cards all the time. It's like, man, I got to make money. I just, I got to make more. You know, I'm never doing that again. And I went the other way, and it was like, well, again, I didn't plan that. Like, again, 3-4 years ago, like money was just coming in. I was just buying new Nikes. I'm going to get a new rug. My microwave, I blew up some stuff in a new microwave, week old. I put it outside and went and bought a new one. Because it was just like, well, it was, whatever it was, $70. I'm like, I made that. I just made that. I can go get one. I got it. I'm fine. Can you believe that's the second time in the row that's happened? All right. So, while talking to Dan, it was just this peaceful feeling of, okay, here are the people you're going to get. You don't need a lot, obviously. But when you get one, it's going to be, that glove fitting, that shoe fitting, that comfortable feeling, that here's someone that, like, knows you and knows just about everything about you and just wants you to be in their life. So easy that way. Instead, oh, this one client referred me and I got to go there and try to sell myself or whatever. It was like, this is, again, he's listened. So this is a first email. It's 2017. I wanted to reach out and say thank you for making the Pro You podcast and also share how much you and your message have helped me the past couple of helped me get past a couple of difficult years in my life. It started back in 2014, a period when I was under a lot of stress at home. My fiance was in her third and final year of grad school, in classes all day and up late every night at the library. I was already establishing my career, working hard to cover our rent and expenses, and also taking on domestic tasks every night to keep us fed and clothed. We were both looking forward to May, which meant graduation and our wedding, then settling down to a more balanced lifestyle for both of us. Unfortunately, the market in my wife's industry was soft. Around the time she graduated, we met a difficult job hunt. After a long, tough search, she finally got an offer with just one problem. The company was 500 miles from us. I knew in my heart that the right thing to do was support her with this opportunity. It was the type of offer that could launch a really successful career for her, but no other part of me wanted to leave my great job, our friends, and our family and start over from scratch during a time in our lives when we both deserved a break. In the end, we agreed to go for it, and I had 2 months to find a job, a new place to live, pack up all our stuff, and while my wife studied day and night for her certification exams. Wow. I started physically feeling the stress just after our wedding. At first, it was like a sick feeling in my stomach, like the feeling you'd get in grad school when you brought home a bad report card. Feeling you get in grade school when you brought home a bad report card. It quickly got worse, and within a month, I had my first panic attack. There's a lot of resemblance to his story and Joe Ringaneri's story, which I will get to. I'd have dozens more over the coming months. The strange thing is that I was consciously aware of why I was experiencing anxiety symptoms. It's like my body was trying to tell me that what I wasn't dealing with, the stressors in my life, but I couldn't figure out what to do about it to make the uncomfortable feelings go away. I think the subject of mental health is still taboo in our culture. We feel ashamed about it, and as a result, we don't do a good enough job learning what it is and how to handle it. Ding, 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 ding. Winner, winner. This definitely applied to me and my situation. I was on a downward mental spiral and not equipped to deal with it. The anxiety eventually led to insomnia. Sometimes I'd go days without sleeping. I have no idea how that's possible. I've never not slept. I mean, I've slept a little. I've slept bad. But not sleeping an entire night, I don't know what that would be like. And to go days? And out again. I obviously read this the first time 3 years ago, but when I read it again, I was like, wow. You know, again, I'm different than I was 3 years ago, so everything affects me differently. But what this guy was dealing with is the same thing like with Joe. You know, like the first time you go through something, it's like freaky, scary. Then you're like tripping because you're freaked out and scared. And there's no book There's no pamphlet. No one taught you about this stuff. I would lie in bed awake all night sweating and feeling my heart pound out of my chest. As the insomnia got worse, the chronic lack of sleep caused me to develop depression. I was stuck in a negative cycle. The progressive symptoms created a lot of fear, which led to more symptoms. At this time, I was feeling a tremendous amount of guilt as well. I had a supportive wife. We were financially secure, living in a great city, and yet I couldn't seem to find happiness or even make peace with our situation. When I talk about it, all my problems sounded like first world problems. So if I could see that, why was I feeling so terrible? Part of me felt like I had given up too much of my own identity to support my wife's career, and I was lacking a sense of purpose and fulfillment. I felt like maybe my wife was asking too much for me, and I started feeling resentment towards her. The new job I found didn't help much either. It required me to travel about half the time, which meant a lot of time alone in my car with my negative thoughts. I felt like I was rapidly losing my mind, and I needed a way out. I wouldn't say I ever considered suicide, because in my mind it was never an option, but I was terrified of the feelings I was experiencing, and I knew I needed professional help. Like, that just, you know what I mean? There's millions of people that could just say that. I felt like I was rapidly losing my mind. I needed a way out. I wouldn't say I ever considered suicide. But in my mind, it was never an option. But I was terrified. Oh, because in my mind, it was never an option. But I was terrified of the feelings I was experiencing. And I remember that feeling. I remember the moment right there. Just pictured in my head, sitting on the floor. The bottom floor was empty. The ex took everything out of the house. It was just a big, fat screen TV from that long ago. And I had a pillow. And I was sitting there. And I was like, I get suicide. I mean, in that very moment, I'm like, I understand it. I wasn't going, oh. I was just going to like, okay, I really just want to stop what I'm thinking and feeling. And it was just an onslaught. And I went, I get how people are like, you know, I just wanted to stop. And to be there, understand it, ask for help. See, to me now, looking back, it's like this is such a demonstration of raw courage. Still here. He got through all of that stuff. I mean, I'm like stressed reading what he went through, and I'm not even done yet. First conversation we had, I said, Dan, I just love you. I just truly, sincerely do. And the respect I have for him, and then it was immediately going, this guy just needs to see himself through my eyes. I decided to take charge and find a way to fix myself. I started going to therapy once a week, and after a while, I developed some great tools, mindfulness and meditation, to manage my panic attacks. I made a conscious effort to reframe my struggle as an opportunity to grow as a person. Let me read that one more time. I made a conscious effort to reframe my struggle as an opportunity to grow as a person. How do I not love this guy? And he wrote this 3 years ago. Love that line. Perspective. Why is this happening to me? What can I learn from this? I also went to a physician to get a handle on my physical health. My six-month battle with anxiety and depression has caused me to lose 30 pounds, develop high blood pressure, high cholesterol, high blood sugar, and I was also diagnosed with skin cancer. So when he said, you know what, I'm going to get better, this is now what he had to face. Oh, I, what did I do to myself and my body? Luckily, the type of cancer I had was very treatable and rarely a serious condition, but it did add another stressor to overcome. Again, it's like, oh, the number of stressors in my battle with anxiety. My physician also gave me a prescription for anxiety meds, which up to this point I had resisted taking. The meds helped with the insomnia, which also alleviated the depression. I was on the right track. As I fought to regain myself mentally, I also decided it was time to take better care of myself physically. I went on iTunes to find a health and fitness podcast I could listen to during my runs, and bam, there it was, Pro U Podcast Episode 1, which I love that story. I mean, the day he pulls it up, there's the Episode 1 posted. Tom, your style resonated with me immediately. Your compassion and focus on mindfulness and incremental changes reinforced all the great advice I got in therapy. I love that. I mean, you know, doing a podcast and someone says, hey, you know, I went to therapy, I did this, I did that, I worked on myself, and when I started listening to you, those things resonated with me in what you were saying. I mean, I'm so thankful, man. I'm just so thankful. And your stories and the stories of your guests gave me the confidence that I was broken, that I wasn't broken, and I wasn't the only person who had gone through this kind of mental ordeal. That sense of community was integral in my healing process. I listened to you every week during my workout and tried my best to be mindful and make pro-you choices. As my health improved, I started going to CrossFit classes. At first, once per week, but eventually I ramped up with more veggies and... I ramped up to 3 times a week. I started drinking more water, eating healthier, cutting out empty carbs, replacing them with more veggies and protein. I also started meditating 20 minutes every day. As my health improved, my anxiety symptoms lessened. Within the next few months, I stopped having panic attacks and the insomnia started going away. Remember, a few months after he started. So he went through all of that. And then got diagnosed with all the health problems. And then a few months later, 2 years after my first panic attack, I was finally starting to feel like my old self again. Time. I was also in the best shape of my life. And was breaking my own long-distance running records from high school. On my next physical, the doctor told me that my cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar were all back at healthy levels, and I had gained back 15 pounds, which put me at a healthy weight for my size. Most importantly, my wife and I went to couples counseling and got some great insight into the differing expectations we had. We made a conscious effort to put each other first, and our relationship improved a ton. 3 years on, I still don't have panic attacks, and I haven't needed any medication or experienced any insomnia. I still struggle with the occasional anxiety symptoms, but I've learned to make peace with it and not take it too seriously. There was no magic bullet which helped me regain my peace of mind. It was many, many small changes over a long period of time. Little things done consistently that added up to big results. My wife and I recently welcomed our first child, a baby girl, into the world, which has been the best experience of our lives. Our relationship has never been stronger. It was like this point, I browsed through it, and I will read what I replied back to him. And I'm like, crying, still crying. And I was like, wow, 3 years ago, I was a mess. I was crying all the time. I'm almost done. I got like 3 sentences left. I haven't cried yet. And then, Tom, it was your podcast that gave me the tools and encouragement I needed to be the husband and father that I wanted to be. Not to sound too dramatic, but you were there for me during my darkest hours when it felt like nobody else understood what I was going through. I don't know if I could ever repay what you've so generously given to me and continue and countless other people, but I can promise to make a conscious effort to pay it forward to the people in my life. Thank you for being you. That got me. So now 3 years later, I'm looking back going, I write back, dude, crying. Thank you, Dan. Thank you so very much. Still crying. One of the best stories I've ever read. Thank you for sharing and congrats on all that pro-you success and your baby girl. Yay. And I said, can I share? Keep listening, keep me posted on all this, you, especially your little girl. Hey Tom, thank you for taking the time to read my story. Yes, please feel free to share it. It was your stories and your guests stories that help me out of my rut, so I want to pay it forward to others who might benefit from hearing about my struggle. And that, I'm not going to remember it exactly. I couldn't remember when I wrote it down, but when he's like, other stories affected me. And when I talked to Dan the first time, I said, I want you to listen to Joe Ringaneri's episode. He goes, I just started listening to it. And I go, yeah, it's perfect. And I was like, so now I get to tell Joe, you know, you shared your story, and now it's becoming someone else's survival guide. And that was kind of the quote I had read. And I was like, this guy's like, look, I've read these stories, and they've affected me, so hey, if mine will help, I'll put it out there. And I'm like, and this reminded me so much of Joe's. And then it was just, like, again, this was kind of before I read this before our first chat, and I was like, wow. So this guy had, you know, every box checked. If we would have met once 3 years ago, and you said, hey, just tell me something to work on, I'm like, okay, go do this, this, and this. And he's like, he's doing them. And at the end, he's like, thank you. You know, you got me through a dark time. And I'm like, I didn't even know it, and love that. And that's what, you know, made me get emotional. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And then 3 years later, I get the next text, and he's like, you know, getting busier. Life's not slowing down. And again, like I said, it was just easy for me, but rewarding. Like, I knew that, I mean, again, you get a client, you might train once and not. You know, you don't know. I might train twice a month. But I just knew all of that normal curiosity didn't play a role in this relationship with Dan. I knew that when we talked, he was signing up. And that we were during the first conversation. I said, so are you going to sign up? Because if you are, I just want to give you homework. He goes, yeah, I'm going to sign up. I said, okay, get a pen and paper. And I went right into the first session. And, you know, that was like our first free kind of chat. And I was already giving him homework. I'm like, can we just, you're going to sign up, send me money? Yep, okay, good, let's move forward. It was just like that thing we had to understand, but that we already understood it. And I'm like, and you know me, and you know how I talk. And if I tell you to do something, you're going to do it. And I listened to Joe's podcast, and then I gave him homework. And then we actually had our first session, and he's like, I sent you a PDF. I'm like, what? I emailed you a PDF with my homework. And I was like, oh my God. Like, this is our first session. And he already had what I had asked him, you know, written out and emailed to me. I mean, this dude was on it. Ready, willing, able. And that's, you know, when I sat back and I went, wow. So I'm me. I'm like, you know, hardcore me now. There's not a lot of movement. And I would say that got really fine-tuned, you know, the last 5 to 7 years, you know, living and, you know, back in L.A. when I moved here 7 years ago, and the choices I made and everything I've done, but then shared it on the podcast where you can hear my growth, you can hear my story, and, you know, now you can hear about my success. It was just such a, like, there, you didn't have to worry. Because to me, it was like, you know, a year ago, it was like, you know, if I just, you know, I'm not dying. You know, I'm not like, oh my God, I have no money. I mean, I'm close to covering my monthly expenses. And, you know, I'm going into my savings and I have it. So I'm like, it was never bad. And I'm like, I'm just supposed to get cool with this. And I did. Cash is gone. Don't care. Going into my 401k, don't care. At all. It's like, oh, I went in twice 1 month. I'm like, okay, there it is. It's like a big bucket of water. I'm like, go get some water. It's right there. It's like, okay, I'm going. It's like, gone. And I'm like, all happened because of how long this took. And then it was how grateful I was to get a client, because I knew I just needed one. But I didn't just need or want a new client. I needed or wanted a great client. Like I have. Like I'm like family. Like these people are, you know, I mean, if it's a new client, like, but the Morrisons, that's like just about 2 years. And then we got 8 years. Then we got 9 years. Then we got 15 years. You know, so. And it's just a family, dude. It's just full on a family. And again, that vibe. It took me 50 years to get that new vibe. So I kept the good ones, and I'm starting to attract the new ones. The new tribe. And it was super rewarding. Super, super, super rewarding. So I just want to thank Dan for being him. It was just a great moment, a great chat, great session, and I'm just totally stoked on it. And I guaranteed him success. And I never do that, but it's a fact. I'm like, I know I can do this. It was just, Tom, 2 and 2 plus 2. All right, that's your query. I can help you. So, meantime, didn't work out for a week and a half. Body got funky, and I was like, what is the deal? Like, I was doing 50, 60 pound dumbbells at a gym. Now I've only got 25s. I don't hardly use them. And I work out, and I get this tightness in the kind of in between my left shoulder and my chest. And then it goes into the back, which has always kind of been the tight area. And I just, like, I'm not going to work out. I'm not going to work out. I'm not going to work out. I kept foam rolling, though. That was the key. Sometimes I take time off and I don't do anything. And then just by not doing anything, you get sore and you get tight and so you don't feel better. I was like, well, I have to keep stretching. I ran a little bit and foam rollered a lot. And I was really starting to open up that area. And then it was just one day I was like, okay, you're just going to not do that workout that you've been doing. You know, the whole live workout Wednesday, kind of a lot of dumbbell stuff. And became my go-to. And I just, you know, done dumbbells for 43 years in gym. So it was just, okay, do that. And I'm just starting to do, okay, I'm going to do sun salutes. I'm going to do yoga. I'm going to do, you know, kind of body weight movements and, like, squats. I started going really deep and trying to make sure that, like, my body's just functioning really well. And then I got done. It was, like, half an hour. And I hadn't really touched a weight. And I was like, well, there you go. And then yesterday I did a workout with just the bands, and it was a little workout. I'm like, it's like totally redoing it, what I was doing. And I'm not tripping about it, but it's like I kind of tell clients, because the client will be like, oh, hey, we got this new feeling, or hey, this is like, that's just welcome to change. If you're 40 or 50 and you're working out, it's going to change. It's just going to, you're going to feel different things. Different things are going to get hurt, get sore, get tight. And you're going to, you know, like I modify. Okay, you know, you want mobility, you want flexibility, you want core strength. Here you go. And if I'm not working out because my shoulder's tight, I'm not doing those things. Like, well, don't do the things that make your shoulder tight and do these things that give you flexibility, mobility, and core strength. And I'm like, okay. And then I felt good. And I was like, all right, kind of like that Forrest Gump thing. You're like, no idea like what it's going to entail every day, but it's like, well, I'm not stuck to that. Hey, here's the dumbbells. Here's that order. This is what you do. This is what you like to do. Do it. It's like, that's gone. Now I'm like, okay. All right, I'll just do whatever. And I kind of threw the day like this morning. I ran, felt really good. I'm thinking, I'm probably going to do a workout today. No idea. It'd be like, okay, I'm doing dumbbells today if I felt good. And I'm like, I'm going to do something today, and I have no idea what. That's kind of like the message of that story. Like, I've been doing this stuff for a long time, and I got to reinvent my workout, reinvent what's good for me, what's pro you. Doing the dumbbells, Tom, is not pro you. Yeah, but I want to. Shut up. You want to. Do you want to feel better? Yes. Okay. Find out what makes you feel better. Do that. So one thing, I don't know if I've mentioned or not, but I've got this outdoor area. So if you walk out of my apartment, go left, turn left, there's kind of like this 15 foot by 20 foot little area that you walk across, just flat, and then you go down the steps. And whatever, 2-3 years ago, I got two chairs and a little wooden table, and I put it in this little corner right when you come around the corner. So it's away from the steps, and the manager and owner, like, they're fine. One of the chairs broke, so it's just a table and a chair. And the chair is, like, really low profile. But it just became, like, I would go out there and chill with Zen. And more, it's like Zen wants to be out there. He wants to be outside. So I go out there and sit next to Zen. Well, during this, you know, April, it was just this weird thing. Like, my apartment complex is, you know, kind of like horseshoe shape, or like a, you know, a big letter O, and in the center there's a small courtyard. So you can, you know, inside the courtyard, you know, I got a little window. You can look out and you can see the other apartments. And it's like nobody has their doors open. And nobody has their windows open. And I'm like, the windows are closed. It's like, they're, you know, it's not that hot, so the AC's not on. And it's like, I don't know, I just hate that stuffy feeling. I got the door open, I got the windows open, and Zen's outside, and I'm outside. And I'm like, it's just the weirdest thing. Like, I got to this apartment complex 7 years ago. It was a, you know, wreck. Like, I had 3 weeks to pack up my life, pack up my man room / garage, find a new place to live, relocate back to LA. And I was in AA. I mean, I was a mess. And I came here, looked at one apartment complex. It was this one, came up here. This was torn kind of apart, like the ceiling. Like, it was just a mess. Like, it just been like, oh, we're going to clean it up and paint it. But it was just a mess. And I'm like, I'll take it. So I only looked at one, applied for one, and got one. Well, there's two, out of the 20 apartments, there are two that are just a little bigger, and it's mine and the one below me. But the ones on the first floor, you're ground level, and they got bars in the windows for protection. But I might want to live with bars on the window, you know? So I, like, it's the best apartment, and I face, you know, I'm on the southeast corner. So as far as the sun goes, and I didn't know it until I was here, it's like I'm at least affected by the sun. And I'm like, I got the best apartment. I mean, it's like a third bigger than some of these. And now I've been here so long that these new people move in and they're paying more than I am a month. And I'm like, wow, I got a good place, great place. Love my apartment. I mean, I love the Zen garden. I love the inside. I walk in, I'm like, oh, all the time. I'm like, oh, I love it. And I'm like, doo-doo-doo, go walking outside. I'm like, I've always kind of said you should have like a patio or a deck or a balcony. That spot where you can go out and breathe air and just sit outside. And I've always found that spot where I've lived. Now, it's not exactly my personal balcony, but it overlooks the street. You know, it's like this metal kind of fence gate thing. But I just chill out there with Zen. And the neighbors out there like all the time, and nobody's even opening their doors. And I don't know, I just feel so blessed for the stuff I have. And then I realize, like, a little bit later, like, wow, it's even better now. Like, what I had in March was better in April. Like, that spot outside. I've had that for, you know, ever since Zen got here. And he wasn't really sure about going out there or staying out there. Now come back from a walk, he comes up the step and he stops. Like, all right, I'll go inside. I get a blanket. I walk outside, lay the blanket down. He don't even come in. I'll go out, check an hour later, and he's chilling out there. And I'm like, I just loved having that. But now during the whole, you know, I was still going to the beach, but it was still nice. Like, all these people in these little apartments just locked in. And I don't get that. I mean, I'm, you know, different folks, different strokes, and people are like in their houses, not leaving. And I'm like, all right, I'm still going to go to the beach. I'm still walking Zen. So I wasn't confined to my house. But when I was sitting in my house, I'd be like, well, I'm going to go sit outside for a while. Like Zen. Zen's in the house. He wants to be outside. So again, just so thankful. And trying to share that I'm thankful about these little things. They aren't really little things. They're huge to me. So I've shared that I've, you know, went through it one time. Yeah, I had a storage unit and went through it. I'm like, if I haven't been to that in a year, if I haven't used something in a year, and I got rid of it, got rid of the storage unit. Then I went through my house like four or five years ago. And I remember recording it because I was getting rid of photo albums, high school yearbooks, everything. It's like, well, I don't look at them. It's this box of stuff that I carry from place to place. And one day I'll die and they go, oh, here's that box of stuff that Tom carried from place to place. And I'm like, I don't look at them. So I just got rid of everything, cards, letters, everything that I didn't look at, think important, and my life mattered in that moment moving forward. But I had a whole, like a little folder DVD of some movies. So I was like, well, okay, cool. One day, I don't know what it was. I was just like, I was going to look through something. I wanted to find to see if I had this karate video or something, because I don't have a lot of stuff of me doing karate. And I pulled it out and I was like, and I had like 30 found art DVDs. And they were really bad quality because they were just photos. But I looked through and I had some other videos, and I had some videos from Minnesota, and I had some videos of me doing some other stuff. And so I'm like, okay, I was chilling one day and I'm like, I'm going to look through all these. And it was easier than I thought, because some that I knew were just like, okay, this is like bad. I threw them out, and I threw out like 30 of these. But there were just some amazing DVDs in there that I really hadn't watched. And one was of Tammy's, I believe, I was positive it was her last birthday, but I went home for it. And I didn't have a video of her. I was like, I think it's, well, actually, it was two different videos. There's a video of me and a large part of my family walking the Mississippi River when it was dry. And then it went in from there into Tammy's birthday at this restaurant. So it was just pictures. But it was just such a cool video. And my ex was in it, and I didn't mind because it was like such a cool video. But man, did that affect me. But I hadn't really, I don't know, I just hadn't thought about Tammy in that way in a long time or seen. I don't know, it was just, but it hit me. I mean, it wasn't a bad, bad thing. I mean, I definitely got emotional and cried. But it was almost more, I was just really impressed I had this thing. You know, great. David Gray, January Rain, the song that I had to it. It's just really, really cool. And like I said, you know, looking back and, you know, seeing my ex and seeing me back in Minnesota and seeing Tammy. I mean, this is not like, yay, good memories, but for some reason it was. It was kind of a really feel-good thing. So I just wanted to share that with you. One of the big blessings that's happened over the whole lockdown, shutdown, pandemic is the one beach that I've gone to the last 3 years, Rincon, stayed open until it didn't. And it was about a week and a half ago. I was there on a Friday, and it was just, I mean, it was pretty busy. And I was just like, wow, like, I don't know. It just makes you feel a little weird. Like when you see all these people gathered together, like no one's really doing the whole 6 feet separation, social distancing thing. And sure enough, that very next Sunday closed. And I was able to park outside and still walk in, so I was able to do it. And then I didn't go back the rest of the week. And it was closed for the whole week. So I know they're still doing that, going around places and checking. And then I went 2 days ago. And it was open. So it was back open. And, you know, Zen and I just walked to the other end. We were totally alone, you know, like we typically are. But it's just like a different feeling. Like when it was closed, I was like, well, I can still park and I can still go. So it was like this weird thing where I felt like I was kind of cheating, you know, because the beaches around here, some of them, like as like the pass down to them, they have like the yellow tape and the construction kind of fold out signs like blocking your entrance way. Up at Rincon, it was just the parking lot was closed, where a lot of times along PCH Pacific Coast there's beach parking by these public beaches, and then there's no parking. So if they close the public parking, you really can't park next to those beaches. So it's kind of, what, you know, walk 2-3 miles to the beach. But like I said, up at Rincon, they just closed the parking. So wherever you could park outside around the neighboring areas, you could just walk in. But it just gave me that whole feeling of, I enjoyed, you know, the less traffic, it being quieter, gas being cheaper, less pollution. I really did. And it was just like, wow, I would like it to stay like this, which obviously is wishing for a whole lot. But I'm hoping that it just transitions back to whatever the new normal is going to be slowly. I mean, there was already, again, I haven't watched the news literally in like, I think it's over 3 weeks. I didn't think it was possible. And I really enjoyed not watching it. Like, I'm like, I'll hear, you know, just people talking or a radio station. I'll hear bits and pieces of stuff. But if there's any big news, I'll hear it. There's just nothing that I gain from watching the news, especially right now. But I've never gone 3 weeks without watching the news. But you get that sense that there's more people here, there's a little bit more traffic there, and I'm like, I'm glad it's happening. I mean, I think it almost has to happen slowly because nobody's in agreement on when, you know, when to reopen and when to get back to that normal and what is that new normal. And so just because of all the confusion and chaos, I'm sure it's going to go slow, and I'm glad it's going to go slow because, I mean, I literally, there were just times I would sit in my apartment, windows open, doors open, you know, like I stated before, but just the quiet. And I've been it seems weird to say, but in Hollywood, a block off of Sunset, but it's relatively quiet here. But then just like, again, over this last month, it's been even quieter, you know, less car noise, less traffic, just less everything. And I really have. I just literally have enjoyed the pace, the tempo, the noise level, just everything. And I just have that of it getting back to like the craziness. So I know it will. I'm just planning, hoping, praying that it kind of just happens slowly and evolves slowly. So I wish the same for you. I hope whatever is happening in your life is under your design and you're focused on that which serves you, that which you can control, and you're staying thankful in all circumstances, because time's passing. We can't control when this stops, when that starts, when that begins, when that ends. We can just control what version we are of ourselves along that path. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. And I really, really, really hope that you're doing well, because you are worth it. Welcome to your Pro You Moment. Stoked you're here. Best part of the podcast. You listen to me and now you get to listen to you. So let's do that thing that we do so well. Control the things that we can. All right, sit on the floor. Cross our legs, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine, there's our foundation. Now we're going to build upon that, we're going to connect our mind and body and make ourselves present. Draw that inhale through the nose, exhale out the mouth, elongate it and slow it down. Controlling that breath won't happen automatically. You have to think about it, focus on it. Stay focused. Stay consistent. And by doing that, you're connecting your mind and your body in this moment. When you do that to its fullest, you'll block out any unnecessary noise. If anything does enter that space between your ears, kindly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do that to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Congrats, another successful pro-you moment. You know, that's the dope thing about the little things done consistently. You just automatically get an A+ just because you checked the box. You just got to do it, and you get an A. Not how you felt, not how you did, compared to how you wanted it to go. Just, I did that for 180 seconds. Done. Win. Way to go. Touchdown. Victory. And that's the mindset, people. That is the vista from which you should look at and view your life in a positive way. Rose-colored glasses, so to speak. had to become my own voice, my own judge, my own critic, my own jury. And the longer I'm around, the more I make time to love yourself. You'll not be so hard on yourself. Nope, you didn't do that well, but it's okay. You messed up again there, but it's okay. You're good, you're good. You have worth, you are worthy. That's when I started to excel a little bit more, evolve a little bit more, gain a little more clarity. And again, been chatting at you for 5 years, 348 episodes, so I'm not making any of it up, especially now. It's like me rejoicing. Hey, you've been following me. This is what I've been doing. Here I am. I won. I won. Peace and God bless.